Progress.
Are you recording it like on your actual video camera?
No, it's being recorded into the laptop, into the computer.
Will it be super high quality?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Okay, cool.
What up, Vigilantes? It is my pleasure to bring you the Dollar Vigilante, Jeff Berwick himself, my mentor and co-founder of the Dollar Vigilante and Crypto Vigilante. Jeff, how are you doing today?
I'm doing good, Raf. How you doing?
Good, good. I'm a little bit, like, I'm here with my hero, man, so it's a little bit, like, nerve-wracking, but I'm so, like, motivated to ask you a lot of questions because it's been a long time since we talked about crypto specifically in the public. And I know a lot of people out there are dying to know about what your take is with everything that's happening in crypto, with everything moving so fast. But before we get into that, Jeff, how did you come into crypto? How did you come into Bitcoin?
Well, I was actually, we had started the Dollar Vigilante in 2010, and I hadn't heard about Bitcoin at that moment in time. Bitcoin, of course, launched in 2009, and actually a lot of the people who work at the Crypto Vigilante now, they all were, all knew about it, and were talking with Satoshi about it back then. It's an amazing team that you've got and you work with. So I started it, and I started talking about the dollar collapse. I said things should start to really collapse by the end of the decade, so by 2020. And interestingly enough, in February of 2020 is when the whole COVID pandemic came out, and most of the stuff that we were talking about all went into process. They started basically printing money at unbelievable amounts of levels, shutting down businesses. Things look like they're going to collapse, and they are collapsing, and they continue to collapse. But that was really the beginning of the collapse, in my opinion. So I was talking about this in 2010. And even back then, a lot of people would say, well, Jeff, what's going to, if the dollar collapses and all fiat currencies collapse, which they will, probably in the next few years, what will take its place? And my response was, I'm sure the market will come up with something. And that was, you know, I could have said gold, I could have said silver, and I probably did mention those things, but I, just being an anarcho-capitalist, that's how it works. The market usually comes up with these sort of things. And actually, that's the only way it can come up with these things, as Ed Bugos will tell you, which I think you're going to have him on soon to talk about those sort of things. But so that was 2010. So then 2011, Doug Casey had started a ranch in Argentina called Estancia de Cafayate. And I'm just like you say, I'm your hero. To me, we're just good old friends, and we'll get into how we met in a second. But Doug Casey is really kind of my mentor, and kind of, I don't like to use the word hero because I don't consider anyone necessarily a hero, but definitely a mentor and someone I thought was awesome. And he had started this basically big real estate project ranch in Argentina. So I decided I have to go down and see it, and actually ended up buying a spot there. I ended up selling it and losing most of my money, but that's a whole other, totally different topic. But we're sitting at a campfire, and all these amazing people were there. It's very similar to Anarchapoco. And of course, Doug Casey used to run the Era Society for like 20 years, which was a little bit like Anarchapoco, but it wasn't as outspokenly anarcho-capitalist, although Doug is. But he would always have amazing people from across the world come to this event called the Era Society. And so I go to Argentina, and we're sitting around a campfire, and everyone's amazing. A guy named Jeremy, who I just recently got in contact again with, for the first time since around that campfire, I remember him. It's just like when someone told me about the internet. I was working at a bank. I was a teller at a bank. And I remember who told me. It was like one of those moments, right? It's like sort of like 9/11, the inside job of 9/11. A lot of people remember that moment when they heard about it. When Ishmael, who worked at the bank, told me about, he said, have you heard about the internet? And I said, no, what is it? And he's like, they've connected the computers together. And I was like, I've been waiting my whole life for this. Because I used to be a computer nerd on bulletin board systems, and I got bored of it. But I remember that moment when he told me about the internet. And so I'm there at Doug Casey's ranch, and sitting around a campfire, having some Tarantas, I think it's called, white wine. And this guy named Jeremy goes, have you heard about Bitcoin? I said, no, what is it? And he just briefly kind of described it, a digital P2P cash, internet money sort of a thing. And I said, that sounds pretty interesting. I'm definitely going to look into it. And then Trace Mayer was there. There was so many amazing, cool people, just like at Anarcapoca, that were there. And he said, you know, when you get back home to Mexico, let's get on Skype. This is like 2011. So we were on Skype back then. I'm so glad I'm not on that anymore. What a piece of garbage that is. But I get back home and Trace goes, okay, I'm going to send you some Bitcoin. And I was like, cool. So how does this work? He goes, go to blockchain.org, I think it was. Open a wallet. So I go there, I hit click, and it goes, okay, your wallet's open. And I was like, well, that was easy. And he goes, what's your address? And I copied it and pasted it into Skype. And 2 seconds later, you hear this cha-ching sound from blockchain.org's wallet. And I look over and there's 3 Bitcoin in there. And he goes, there, I just sent you some Bitcoin. I was like, kind of like already my mind's kind of like, whoa, right? And Trace is super smart. He's so smart that he said that my next question was, so what do I do with it now? And he goes, well, there's not many stores online for it. It's brand new. But I have a store, he said, and I sell a book there called something about gold, because he was a big gold guy. And it was 3 Bitcoin. So he goes, go to my store and buy my book for the 3 Bitcoin I sent to you. So he got all his Bitcoin back. It was only $3 at the time, by the way. So I bought his book for $9, 3 Bitcoin. And basically in that moment, I was like, whoa, this is could be huge. But you have to remember back then, well, yeah, you would remember, a lot of people might not. That was like the Mt. Gox sort of time. So I kind of asked him, I go, where do I buy it? And he's like, well, there's really only one place, and it's in Japan, and it's on a fantasy card game trading site called Magic the Gathering, or Mt. Gox for short, trading site. And I was like, so I got to wire money to Japan to a trading card site to get Bitcoin. And stupidly and regrettably, I never did, although I might have lost it all in the whole Mt. Gox fiasco. So I was like, And right around that time, Bitcoin went to zero on Mt. Gox because someone did a mass sell or something. So it was still like very like, I don't know if this is going to turn out or anything, but I got really into it and I started like looking into it as much as I could. And I think it was pretty soon after, I always ask you what year it was because I can't remember, but I think it was 2012. I don't even remember how I ended up there. It could have been through you, because I think we knew each other before then, if I remember correctly. And all of a sudden I'm at a Mexico City Bitcoin meetup conference and speaking in Spanish about Bitcoin. And my Spanish was pretty bad back then, and I didn't know much about Bitcoin even, but I knew that I was very interested in it. And that's where me and you really hung out. And we've kind of like known each other ever since. And we've always been trying to find ways to work with each other. And we finally did with the Crypto Vigilante, because you were doing all kinds of venture capital type stuff with Bitcoin back in like 2011. So anyway, that's how I got into it. And then I basically recommended it on the Dollar Vigilante, our newsletter, at $3. Which had a total gain of, what is it, 30,000,000% or something. I still consider it to be the best financial recommendation in human history, because I can't find anything that comes even close to me recommending Bitcoin at $3 in 2011 and it hitting $20,000, for example, in 2017, so 6 years later. Wow. And then I also recommended Ethereum at $2. And yeah, from there, you know, we got through that 2017 bubble. Yeah, bubble's probably the right word. And it was right around then that Ed Bugos, my partner, who you know very well at the Dollar Vigilante, and I were like, okay, crypto is going to be massive. And there's going to be so many opportunities in the future. We've got to find the right people to work with and actually start a whole different newsletter, because the Dollar Vigilante, our last issue was 80 pages and it's not all crypto. So we couldn't imagine putting it all into one newsletter. So we thought we need to start a crypto newsletter. And I thought about a few people, but you were always number one on my list because you're the most hardcore anarcho-capitalist of all of them. Like a lot of them were you know, they said they were anarcho-capitalists, but if, you know, we got talking, they'd be like, well, maybe we do need tax. And I was like, nah, you're not going to fit in around with my friends. We got talking, and then you introduced me to Mr. X, and I found out about his background, how he was like talking with Satoshi back in the day, and all the guys who've come on since then, all three of you, Mr. W, Mr. A, they all keep incredibly private. We started the Crypto Vigilante.
I just got chills after that. When you said that, I just got literally chills when you said that, because it's so, these guys were retired, and one thing I have to do is just send them an encrypted message and, hey, would you like to work with Jeff Berwick? That's it. They just put everything aside, want to work with Jeff. And Jeff is because you're an inspiration, and you have been a voice for people that have not been capable of speaking out and being out in the open. So thank you for being that person, because you are saying what everyone else wants to say, everyone else in crypto wants to say. So sorry for interrupting you were saying?
Well, that was basically it. That's my experience with crypto so far, and we launched the Crypto Vigilante a few years ago. It's done quite well. Probably the best was Pirate Chain, which went from 5 cents to $15 in like a year or something. It's unfortunately all the way back down, which is a whole other story, which we can get into on sort of like the bear market we've been in for the last few years as well. So this is a very interesting time in crypto, in my opinion. We've gone through a number of bull and bear markets now and learned a ton from them every time. And I think you think, and Mr. X thinks, and Ed thinks, and I think that we're pretty close to the next crypto bull market now. We've really been in one, if you really look at the charts, for about 2 years now. Like that's about what happened after 2017. 2017 was really interesting. Bitcoin went from 1,000 to 20,000 in 1 year. That was a wild year. And then over the next 2 years, it went all the way down to about $3,000, which is exactly, Ed actually said, sell it at 20 and buy it at 3,000. And that's exactly what happened. And I did, and a lot of subscribers did. So then we've had that last bull market, which Ed actually was starting to say, start selling around 60,000 and up. We got a little snafu'd because of Luna really set off that the basically the crypto bear market. And you can ask Mr. Z, Mr. W, Mr. A, I think they mostly all agree that screwed up that cycle. It was actually supposed to go higher. If you look at the charts, if you look at how it usually goes, we were all expecting Bitcoin to go to 100,000, but of course, all these speculators and crazy people were creating all these things, and people were falling for it, like Luna. And it wiped out like hundreds of billions of dollars, and they were all leveraged, as we found out, which went all the way through from Luna through to the FTX collapse with their whole hedge fund. And it was all leveraged, which, you know, this is so different than how crypto was when you and I were into it in like 2012, that like there's like it's night and day difference. And there's so much leverage and stuff like that, that it really caused that collapse to happen sooner than we thought. But I was selling, and I actually was, from Bitcoin, when it hit 40,000, I sold some. When it hit 50,000, I sold some. When it hit 60,000, I sold some. And I said that in the newsletter as well. And Ed said around 60 to definitely take some money off the table. And right after that, it started to go down after Luna and then FTX. And it went all the way down to where Ed Bugos, again, like I can't wait till he's on your show. Like more people need to know about him. Yeah. He said it was going to hit around 15,000. And then on top of that, and this is why it's so amazing to work with Ed and all the TCV guys, Mr. W and Mr. A have been so incredible. I've learned so much about technical analysis. And once it was very clear it was in a bear market, they said well before it hit $15,000, which was about December of last year, I believe, they said it was going to probably hit 15,000, not just 15,000, 15,800 is the number. They said that looks like the number. So I had sold all my Bitcoin at that point, which I had never done in the past, but I had so much confidence in our team that I sold whatever I had remaining at about 25,000, 22,000, something like that. And I was waiting for this 15,800 number. And if you look at a Bitcoin chart, it hit 15,800 twice, and I had major buys in there, and I got hit both times, and that was the exact bottom. So that's a long way of saying that's where I've gone with crypto over the years. Been a lot of ups and downs. We've been in a down now for what I consider to be almost 2 years, even though it's really been like a little over a year and a bit, a year and 3 months maybe since Luna, I think. But it was really already going down at that point. It was there was so many things happening, and FTX really screwed up the market by like basically putting out fake Bitcoin, basically, even though you can't fake Bitcoin. But the way that they're doing on their exchanges, they said people had Bitcoin, but they didn't have the Bitcoin. They were using that money to trade other things. They screwed up the whole market. But that's a long way of saying that we're pretty confident right now that we're just on the cusp of the next bull market in both precious metals and crypto. We might have one downtick if we have a major US stock market collapse, which I expect to happen. I think will happen in September. That might be your last chance. But then if that does happen, the Federal Reserve will probably print up more money than anyone thought was even possible. It'll probably be even more than like trillions. It'll be whatever's after trillions. And then we'll go into hyperinflation over the next few years. But in that meantime, Bitcoin will hit 500,000, gold will hit 10, 20,000, silver, which is 25 right now, will hit 200, 400, 500. And so that's the opportunities we see. But as you know, I also talk about that this could be the total apocalypse right now, and the wiping out of everything. And we do know that Satan Klaus and Kill Gates and all these globalist sort of people, they're already doing a genocide. They've been doing a genocide for the last few years, that they might be ramping it up. And they're talking about cyber attacks. They're talking about World War III. And we know the markets are going to fall apart here at any moment with the rise in interest rates that they've had to do. So it's going to be very interesting times ahead. And that's why, you know, for people out there, if you're into crypto or even just precious metals and everything, you really need the best information. And you're getting all the wrong information on like the television programming, CNBC, Jim Cramer, just do the opposite of what he says. And then on crypto Twitter, like all these YouTubers that we've never even heard of that are all just like number go up people. They don't even understand the concept or why it's important or the actual real intention of Bitcoin, which is to get rid of central banks and eventually governments. But we're on the cusp of some massive things to happen. So it's definitely an exciting time to get involved if you haven't been involved so far.
So Jeff, right now BlackRock is formally entering the crypto space. Are we at the we can't beat them, join them stage? What's going on with that?
Well, I'll never join people like BlackRock, but...
No, yeah. Are they joining Bitcoin through their ETF and all that
yes.
stuff? Is that what do you take of that? Is that good, bad? Is it something we should just simply ignore?
Definitely not ignore. Definitely not. That's a major, major change in the market. As far as if it's good or bad, basically what people like that do, BlackRock and governments and central banks, is all pretty evil in general. So. You know, they're getting involved. That kind of is not good. But I don't look at it as like a good or a bad. I'm just a realist. These guys control trillions and trillions of dollars, and they've completely flipped in the last couple of years from saying Bitcoin's a scam, which they did on purpose, by the way. And Ed Bugas was saying that. He said when Jamie Dimon was saying Bitcoin's a scam and all this kind of stuff, they were buying back then. So that's what they were doing. And Ed said this. He said once they've got all their ducks in line, they got all their ETFs ready, which they won't let people like the Winklevoss people or Grayscale or anyone else do, because they control the Securities and Exchange Commission. They control the government itself. Once they get their bags loaded, which we think they pretty much have now, that they'll start to get really into it. And actually, Ed has said, and again, I can't wait till you have him on, that he knows Wall Street people incredibly well, and these are what these kind of people are. And he says when they see a speculative or an asset class, especially a new asset class, that is actually very scarce, like Bitcoin, with only 21 million Bitcoins will ever be created, that they will try to get them all, basically. And as they try to do that, they will cause the price of it to go up massively. Definitely don't ignore that all these people are getting involved in it now. You know, all these things, you know, it's kind of funny because you know very well, Raph, that a lot of people were kind of ruining that. These sort of people were getting involved like 5, 6 years ago, and they were going to bring in all these margin trading, leverage, ETFs, and a lot of people were really worried that that would really, you know, create massive booms and busts in the Bitcoin market. It wouldn't, it'd be a much more different market than if it was natural. But the thing is, you can't stop these people from getting into it. And it looks like they're getting into it. Of course, they want to control it. And in many ways, Bitcoin is a public ledger. So it actually kind of falls in line with some of their plans to surveil everyone and every transaction. But no, definitely nothing to, definitely don't ignore it. As far as, it's kind of funny, like I was saying, everyone was worried Wall Street was going to do all these things, but it actually turned out it wasn't Wall Street as much who were doing these things. It's things like Binance and these other type sites that got really amazing technology where you can trade anything on there. You can leverage, you can margin, you can futures, you can do everything. And that's changed the market dramatically. And I think because of that, and that's why we see major upswings and major downswings when they happen, because so many people are leveraged now, which back in the day when you and I were talking about Bitcoin, like in 2013, like how do you even leverage Bitcoin? You couldn't even do that really. And it's become a big part of the market now, and people just need to be aware of it. But I think in general, these people are moving into these things. And it probably means the price is going to go dramatically higher. And there's not really anything we can do to stop them. But the real key to me is what we were talking about 10 years ago, Raf, with, you know, the whole point to us of this thing was to get people using it and to stop using fiat currencies and central bank currencies. And that will take away most of the power away from governments and central banks, which would create a much better world. There'd be hardly any wars, there'd be hardly any poverty. That's all caused by central banking and governments for the most part. And I still have not lost track of that at all. That's still, for me personally, like we can make money on these things and that's fine. We're anarcho-capitalists, that's great. But number one for me is having a currency that can basically take down the central banks and the governments. And we thought that was going to be Bitcoin, but I don't think that's going to be the case anymore. Although you might have some new opinions on that based on some of the changes in Bitcoin in the last few months. But to me, really, the most important one out there is Monero. And I actually wanted to mention this because I have this painting that I bought at Narcopoco a couple, like 5 years ago. And I noticed if you just look right here, all you see is Zcash. And I'm sure you're like, Jeff, Zcash, what are you doing? But it's actually like, oh, it's got a, no, it doesn't have the date. Oh yeah. Oh no, it doesn't have a date, but it's got Zcash, Monero, Bitcoin. It's got EOS, so this is old, and Ethereum. And it says bank now accepts Bitcoin, HODL. So that's like an older sort of a painting that I have. And of course, we know Zcash isn't anything like what a lot of us thought it was years ago. But to me, the most important thing is still Monero, because we're going into a surveillance state. All this AI stuff, which we can get into, all this government wanting to track every single thing, and all the moving towards central bank digital currencies and tracking every single transaction. If that goes through, and if that ends up being the way the world is, it's going to be a nightmare dystopia unlike anything you've ever seen in any movie. Take all your favorite dystopian movies, mix them together, and that's what the world will be like. And you've just had a baby, I just had a baby. I don't want the world to be like that. I at least want there to be options. And to me, Monero's super important in that. And then, you know, on to go even a little bit further, things like Dero are incredibly important. You know, you have all these smart contract type platforms like Ethereum and all that. They're slow, they're expensive, but number one, they're completely out in the open, and we're heading into a time where if you don't have your security and your privacy locked down, you're probably going to have everything stolen from you and end up in a jail at some point the way things are going. So to me, that's number one, is still wanting to see things like that succeed. But I also have to say that I've been so, I don't know if the word's disappointed, but maybe even shocked at how stupid most people are. That your average person, 99% of the people on Earth, I just saw a video, this woman's so excited she can pay for things with her palm, which Amazon has on their servers, and she's so excited because it's so convenient, and she doesn't see the walls going up all around her right now. So in the past, I was like, we've got to get this out and save all the people. What I've realized is most of them are non-player characters, NPCs, zombies. A lot of them want slavery and they want their own slavery. So I've gone from wanting this to save everyone in the world to at least having these things for those of us who have eyes to see and ears to hear to have options to evade this massive surveillance state they're putting into place.
Yeah, there's a vision that I want to share with you that a friend gave to me the other day, which is that he sees a future where there would be Bitcoiners, people holding digital assets, then machines, AI, and drones taking care of everything, and robots, and then the no-coiners. And the no-coiners are probably going to be the people that are going to have to put neural links in their brain and try to go into the metaverse. And in order to try to make some crypto in the future.
Well, Bill Gates already patented that. The patent actually has the number 666 is the patent number. And he wants to put in a microchip into people so that they can earn cryptocurrency via the chip. Like, talk about straight out of the Bible, Mark of the Beast. It's right there. And he made the patent number 666. Now, whether that was like on purpose or whether that prophecy in the Apocalypse Revelation section of the Bible is actually just coming true now, one or the other, it's all happening. And yeah, I think you're right. I think we'll probably see a lot of people will be slaves in the future. They won't really know they're slaves though, just like right now. Most of them are slaves right now. Most of them get up in the morning, they gotta go to work because they gotta pay for their extortion, the taxes from the criminal mafia that's demanding it of them. They try to get to work without a road pirate pulling them over because their taillights cracked and extorting like $200 from them. They get home, they got to pay their property taxes. They got to pay their income taxes. They got their mortgage, which is French for death contract, where in 40 years they might own their own home. So people are already...
That's 90 years, Jeff.
Yeah, I heard. Yeah.
90 years in Canada now, so...
Yeah, in Canada, because they can't afford it. That's basically... We're basically like hyperinflation type already. But your average person... not only can't see that they're enslaved, but a lot of them even like their own slavery. So you're going to see a lot of people that are going to, you know, Yuval Harari of the World Economic Forum has talked about how they're mostly going to do what they did in the book, Brave New World, which is put a lot of them on drugs and give them VR headsets because they're useless eaters. There's most of the jobs are going to be gone with the AI now, and they're going to put them on Meta, which means death. Virtual reality headsets, probably put the Bill Gates chip in them so they can earn some cryptocurrency, and they'll do some drugs and they'll just sit in their little decrepit little thing, just like people are already doing in Japan. There's so many people just living in internet cafes now. So there'll be those people, and people will go and move into the mile, or what is it, the wall or something in Saudi Arabia. Which is basically like a prison wall that they're going to actually live in the prison. They're going to be surveilled. They're going to be injected every couple days with a new, strain of the virus. We've got to give you some injections. There's going to be those people. And then there's going to be basically like the Amish and people like them. And I know you pretty much live with the Amish right now. I consider myself Amish with an internet connection. And we're going to try to live outside this system. And we're going to be using things like Monero and Dero and all that to get around it all. But yeah, it's going to be incredibly interesting times ahead. And I don't know how long it might take. It might just be a couple of years, though. It's moving very fast. They've basically laid out all their plans in Agenda 2030, which is only 6 years away now, that they want to depopulate a lot of the Earth. And they've already started to do that. I think you're on YouTube, so I can't say too much what it is. But they've been injecting people, and they're dying now, a lot of them. Most of them, their hearts are destroyed. At least half of them will be dead within 3 to 5 years. And you know, Bill Gates did a whole TED talk on this, how he's going to reduce the world population using vaccines. This is very, like, they've been doing this actually a lot. They've done it, even though the old Spanish flu. First of all, it wasn't from Spain, and it wasn't the flu, and it was actually the lethal injections they put into everyone, vaccines, after World War I that killed a lot of people. So they do it all the time. So basically, a lot of people are sleepwalking. They're enslaved. They want to be enslaved. They don't understand what people like you and I are talking about whatsoever. They think we're completely crazy, and maybe we're a little crazy. But we know what's going on, and they're going to end up probably genocided. They're already probably injected with stuff that's going to kill them. And then, you know, they're going to basically become slaves and probably have their VR headsets if they stay alive, and their chip to make their cryptocurrency. And we'll try to be living outside of those systems. And, you know, that's what we're doing right now. And we'll just continue to do that. And it's going to be very interesting times ahead. It's basically the apocalypse, and it's amazing to be alive right as the apocalypse is happening. Like, I can't believe it. I'm so excited about it.
So Jeff, you lived through the collapse of the dot-com bubble. Hmm. You were actually one of the pioneers of the internet. How was that? Can you give everybody an insight of what happened? One day, you had a multi-million, billion-dollar business, one of the biggest like fintech companies on the planet, and the next day you woke up, and what happened? How fast did it happen?
Oh man, so, well, what, like I told you, when that guy at the bank told me about the internet, I went straight home. I took my computer out of the closet, which I had gotten bored of because it was all bulletin board systems with dial-up modems. And I got on the internet and I registered berwick.com, first thing I did, which I still have to this day. And then I was like, I got to do something on here. This is going to be the biggest thing ever, the internet. And this is 1993. And so hardly anyone knew about it. Like, I think Mosaic browser wasn't even out yet. Like, it was like brand new. And I was working at a bank and I wanted to become a stockbroker. So I knew a lot about the stock market. Well, not a lot really in retrospect. I hardly knew anything, but that was one thing I was very interested in. So I thought, I'm going to start a financial stock market website. And I was in Canada at the time, and you couldn't even get Canadian quotes or anything. You could start getting US quotes on Yahoo Finance in the US in around 1994. So I started one in Canada that did something similar, and it caught on very quickly, and we got quite a bit of investment. I think we raised about $40 million, which was a lot back then. That's like hundreds of millions today. And then we expanded to about seven different countries. We are pretty big in, we're number one in Canada. We're number one in Australia. We were in Hong Kong, Singapore, UK. And, you know, I didn't know anything about Austrian economics or central banks or anything back then, like nothing. And so I'm in the middle of this bubble, which I found out afterwards was a bubble. And all of a sudden, all these internet stocks, anyone who had a dot-com name in like 1998, their stock would go from like 5 cents to like $50. And ours did as well, even though we were private. We were trying to go public when it all collapsed. And so we had built this company. We had a few hundred employees. We were in seven different countries. And all of a sudden, I woke up. I was in Hong Kong to do a press conference with the South China Morning Post, who had just invested $5 million into us. The night before that press conference, I went to sleep and they're like, Amazon's going to go to like $300. It was like, you know, $50 or $20 at the time. I forget where it was, but it was way lower than it is now. And I woke up in the morning and they said, it's over. Amazon's going to zero. All the tech companies are going to zero. And I just started sweating because we were just raising our last round before we went public. Luckily, the guy gave us the check, and right from there, no one would return my calls anymore. Goldman Sachs, Lehman Brothers, all these people wanted to take us public on the NASDAQ. And pretty quickly, it became obvious we had to lay off tons of people just to survive. And it was pretty brutal. We went from like 150 people to like 15 people in about a month or two, and I had to lay most of them off myself, and that was not fun. And my partner, who had came on after I'd started the company, he actually jumped out of a building off the eighth floor. He landed in a little, one of those little fountains with a little bit of water. So he didn't die, but he ended up breaking all his back and his legs. And as all this stuff's happening, he came over to my apartment on crutches, and I opened the door and it's him. And I'm like, oh, how are you doing? And he's like, he had a book in his hand. It was like a thick book. And he just hands it to me and he goes, read this. And he just hobbles off on his crutches. And I look at the book and it's The Creature from Jekyll Island by G.R. Griffin. And I read it over a few days, and I was like, oh, that's how all this works. That's why there was this bubble. It was all central banks. They printed the money. They withdrew the money with the Y2K scare in 2000, and it crashed the entire market. So yeah, I had a front row seat to learning about bubbles and how central banks work. And soon after that, after I, you know, I read about Creature from Jekyll Island, that's when I got really into Doug Casey, because he was talking about a lot of this stuff. Then I met Doug Casey. He told me I was an anarchist. And then I started, you know, down that path of realizing that's what I was, an anarcho-capitalist. I never thought governments were legitimate. I always saw them as criminal organizations, which they are. Absolutely, 100% they are. And it was around 2008 when I was already talking to Ed Bugas. We were in an Austrian finance economics site with all kinds of well-known people. I think Peter Schiff was in there at one point. Steve Saville, a bunch of all the, you know, like a lot of the top Austrian economics people. And I was sitting there watching. I'm just learning. I'm just like a, like you watching, like, you know, what's going on in the bitmaps and stuff right now, right? Like, I was just like watching everything they're saying. And I was like, these guys are like way smarter than like anyone I've ever heard of on television or anything. Like, they're like the top, you know, Paul Krugman, like, forget about it. The guy's an idiot. These guys are like the smartest people in the world. And they're all like, this is like 2006. And they're like, everything's going to collapse probably in the next year or two. And so because I kind of knew that, I basically, you know, knew that was going to happen. And when it, I was sitting there waiting. I was like, I'm going to wait and see if this happens. If there's a major massive crash in 2007 or 2008, then I know what I know how everything works now. And I'm going to start like a financial newsletter and tell everyone how it all works. And right around then, I was like, well, I know some of this stuff, but nothing like these guys. And so I said, who's the smartest guy in this group of the smartest people in the world about economics? And I was like, it's Ed Bugas. This guy is destroying all these guys. And so I messaged, and so 2008 happened, and everyone in the group was like, yep, just like we said, just when we said it was going to happen. And I messaged Ed. I said, Ed, do you want to start an anarcho-capitalist Austrian economics financial newsletter? And he was like, yeah, I'm in. And so we started planning in 2009, and we launched in 2010 because of all that past things that happened to me.
Ed is a genius. Does Ed still give you homework? He gives me homework all the time. I love it.
He hasn't, no, he used to always. You know, over the years, I've read a lot of the stuff. I understand most of the stuff he talks about, not on his level. But we met in 2005. Actually, we never met in person until after we'd already started the newsletter, like a year after. It was all via email and stuff. But I knew about him since about 2004. So it's been about 20 years now. So yeah, he doesn't, he'll often, if I say something in my videos, he'll send me like, you know, this is, you know, you might've had this a little wrong. Here's the details. And he'll give me that. But it's not really homework as much anymore because I've been like working with him for 20 years now.
Yeah, I really hope he starts his own show, because I think his show would just go extremely viral. I mean, he's such a genius that he would just be the talk of the internet. So Jeff, given your experience with 2008 and the dot-com collapse, like, where are we now? And given your experience, because you can be very, you know, learned with books, and but if you don't have that experience, that lived experience of being a pioneer of the internet, seeing what happened before your eyes, then being part of these groups, and then seeing what happened in 2008, where are we now? Because like I said, we've never have had so much debt in history. We are, in the United States, there has never been more credit card debt, and so little capability for people to pay that debt back. So where are we now?
Well,
we're
reaching the end of these central banking systems. So these central bank systems end in everyone being massively indebted, and it then goes into hyperinflation. We're on the cusp of that. And as far as where we're at, 2001 was a bubble that was created by the Fed. that they popped in 2001. Then they created another bubble. And I remember back then they were saying we should create a housing bubble. You know, people forget this kind of stuff. Paul Krugman, he was calling for a housing bubble. So they created all these different mortgage leverage sort of things. And all these, I forget exactly what they even call them, but like they put them all into a bundle and sell them to people. If you want to see it, just watch that movie, The Big Short. And 2008 was... I was wondering if everything was going to collapse then. We were very close, but in retrospect, the amount of US debt back in 2008, you might not even know this. It's currently, just so you know, just about to hit $33 trillion. In 2008, the total amount of US government debt, I believe, was about $8 trillion. So it's 8, 16, 24, it's gone up 400% in the last 15 years. So all that happened in 2008, everything should have really collapsed, but they decided instead of fixing anything, just to keep printing money until the system dies. And that's where we're at now. We're at the point, and this is like probably gonna happen in the next few weeks or months. and I'm guessing mid-September. It could take longer, it could be next year, but it's going to happen very soon. And this is all the numbers, all the things that we predicted for 2008, it's all the same things. You can see it. This system is going to collapse. So what we've really had, and Ed's talked a lot about this, is since 2008, them just putting their fingers in the holes of a dike that is about to explode and just printing money as the solution to absolutely every problem, which is going to end up in a massive crash and then hyperinflation afterwards. And unlike in the past where you had hyperinflation, it's happened so many times in the past in most countries in the world. It's happened in Zimbabwe a couple times in the last 20 years. It's happened in Argentina. It happens there about every 15 years. But we've never seen, or in Weimar Germany in the early 1900s, but we've never seen, because we're on this global US dollar system now, where after 1971, they took the gold backing away from the dollar and they said the dollar is just as good as gold, which total bullshit. That was actually another bankruptcy of the US. The US has gone bankrupt numerous times. It went bankrupt in 1933. That's when they stole everyone's gold in the land of the free. Then it was bankrupt in 1971. So they said you can't take gold out from your dollars anymore. That was another bankruptcy. Since then, we've just seen basically, it's 50 years now, but it's printing and printing and printing, but there's an end. There's going to be an end where it goes into hyperinflation. And because everything is all based essentially on the US dollar as a reserve currency for most places, that most fiat currencies are all going to go into hyperinflation at once. And there's only one thing worse than a complete sort of crash collapse like we saw in 2001 and 2008. There's only one thing worse. And that's hyperinflation. Because even during a crash or a collapse, most things still exist. The economy actually still exists. Most transactions can still be made, but most people will get wiped out. A lot of people will lose their jobs and things like that. In a hyperinflation, unless people start using cryptocurrencies, which we've been trying to tell them to do for 15 years, but they're pretty stupid, and they want to trade their Dogecoin and stuff. But if people don't start using that, there's going to be... the economy is going to go to zero, like you're not going to be able to trade unless people know how to trade in Monero and Dero and stuff like that, or even Bitcoin. If the internet even stays up, like this is how close we are to a massive, massive crash and hyperinflation that will wipe most people out. And that's why me personally, I've been building a ranch. We're going to grow all our own food on it. We've got big walls up. We've got 25 dogs. We've got 3D printers for, don't want to say it too much, but all that kind of stuff, which is awesome kind of stuff. And just getting ready for this collapse, which might not happen in the next few weeks. It might not happen in the next few months, although I think it could. It might happen in the next year or two. But when it does, and as it happens, and it might take a year or two to fully play out, it's going to be chaotic, and people got to be ready for that. And but during that period of time, I think, as we enter into hyperinflation, before everything comes to a grinding halt and all of a sudden it's just like Venezuela and all you see in the streets is like US dollar bills because they're worthless, we're going to see a massive bubble. But the trick's going to be to profit from that bubble and get out and get into what you need to survive over the next few years as everything's collapsing all around you. So it's going to be, even though I think I know not exactly, but pretty close to what's going to happen, it's still going to be very difficult to find your way through it. And if you're in the wrong spot, like if you're in like a major US city, when this happens, good luck. Like when the supply chain shut down and all those people who will cause a riot over if the food stamp cards stop working for like an hour, when they start going crazy and all this BLM type stuff. So you got to be very prepared just to survive physically from what's going to happen. And, you know, I've said over the years, get out of major cities for sure. Get out of the US if at all possible, because I think it's going to be ground zero. Now, of course, if you're like in the mountains of Montana and you know all your neighbors, you got lots of guns, you'll probably be okay. If you're in like Amish country, you'll probably be a lot better. Although, who knows with this World War III, because this is all this debt stuff. Like, China's not very happy that they have all this debt that's never going to be repaid back. And you got Joe Biden saying they're going to like send all these arms to Taiwan now, just like they're doing with Ukraine to start a war with Russia. If this turns into like a serious hot World War III type situation, they're going to lock the US down like a prison, and who knows what's going to happen. And I don't say that to scare anyone. And if you're in the US, I'm just saying it's a risk. It's an absolute risk. And so I'm south of there in Mexico, which I think it's even survived the peso collapsing in the 90s. And people just went fishing. They ate the mangoes off the trees. You know, there's very self-reliant sort of people to begin with. But, you know, these are some of the things that people need to consider over like right away. Like, you can't wait much longer. I've been talking about this for like 10 years, but we're getting down to like the final weeks and months of this now. And if you're not ready now, you're probably never going to be ready. And, you know, who knows what's going to happen. And, you know, if you want to be prepared, you really need to be, you know, follow all of our stuff. This is all, the Dollar Vigilantes started out as surviving, and that was our tagline, by the way. And I use that for a reason, because I said when this happened, it's going to be a survival-based event. It's not going to be like you lose all your money. Like, you might quite likely end up dead during this process. So the tagline is surviving and prospering during and after, because we're planning ahead as well. The dollar collapse. But really, we should just change the dollar collapse to apocalypse now, because that's basically where we're at. We've got a genocide going on. We've got World War III on the... I hate to sound like a doom and gloomer, but like, that's exactly what's happening. They're doing these things right now. We're going to have the financial collapse happening any time now. So you're going to need to survive and then sign up for our stuff, Dollar Vigilante, Crypto Vigilante, and hopefully prosper. Because when you have a massive event like this, there's not only going to be a lot of risk, and I think the word in Chinese for risk is also opportunity, and it's totally that. Tons of people are going to get wiped out, but there's going to be massive opportunities available to people who have foreseen this and are ready with things like Monero and Dero and black markets and dark webs and you know, getting people like toilet paper on the dark web. That's probably going to be a thing fairly soon. And the, whoever's got all the toilet paper in a warehouse right now, and they got their Dero set up, their smart contracts, and they'll be like selling people toilet paper on dark webs, which are actually on chain on Dero for Dero or Monero. You know, that's how the Kennedys actually made tons of their money, was during prohibition of alcohol. They made tons doing black market stuff, and we're going to see that again. So there's going to be tons of opportunities, but there's also going to be tons of risks, and you got to be aware of it all if you want to survive to the end of what I consider to be a 3D video game.
Yeah. Shameless plug, but really the best part of the crypto vigilante is the dollar vigilante. Like a crypto nerd like myself, I only have time to just focus on crypto. I don't have time to be digging into everything that Jeff and Ed digs into, like the big picture of, you know, precious metals, stocks, bonds, political atmosphere, what's happening. So it's really, like, Jeff, what you've been able to offer us and the TCV analysts is a place for us to live out our vocation, and for that we thank you. Because it's hard for us to have these tools, these weapons of crypto, and not have a way to express it to the world. So by you creating the Dollar Vigilante, and co-creating with us a crypto vigilante, you've been able to give us that, a place, a platform, so we can speak and teach. So it's obvious that we're like mission oriented, we're passionate about this, to the point that Jeff, Ed Bugos, Mr. X, and myself, and the rest of the team have for many years now been talking about creating, well, at the time, Jeff, when we started talking about this, I thought of it as a luxury product. I'm like, okay, let's open up, because really, the Dollar Vigilante and Crypto Vigilante, I see it more as like a, like, almost like anarchist university, right? Like, you're there researching, reading our research, and applying it to your personal life. And then crypto does that as well, right? We provide our research, then you apply our research to your personal life. Good. But we always talked about, like, wouldn't it be cool if, like, people got to see our research as like, watch us go back and forth, get into debates, really, like, dig into things. Because, like, if there's something very particular that I would describe our team as, is that we have geniuses who are highly focused on detail. And I can't just say something in our research channel that would just, like, Ed or Mr. X or any of the guys would just let slide. Like, I have to be able to back it up with research, with facts, and at least have a very good thesis. And so what the newsletters present to people is our research already digested. And sometimes once that is digested, a lot of happenings in the market have already occurred. And what's happening in crypto specifically has led me to a new conclusion, in that this new product, which is the opening up for people to see our research, our dialogue, and our wrestling with these events in real time, is no longer, at least from the crypto perspective, a luxury item, but it's a necessity. Because by the time we write the Crypto Vigilante newsletter, I'm almost giving a historical report. Does that make sense, Jeff?
Oh yeah, absolutely. As things are moving so fast now, it is a little tough. Yeah.
You know what's crazy, Jeff, is that, like, this past week, everything that I've been saying, Coinbase pretty much copied all of the language that I've been using to describe this phenomena of on-chain economy, native blockchain economy, and all of a sudden Coinbase has blockchain on-chain summer. It's like, wait a minute, are they Crypto Vigilante subscribers? Because I don't know anyone else aside from my very intimate close friends and the Crypto Vigilante that are actually wrestling with this concept, starting with Darrow, you know, Darrow being an on-chain private economy. So it just goes to show that, like, maybe Jeff, if you want to talk a little bit more about the VIC, but, like, it goes to show that right now people are starting to freak out, and they're starting to just, they see what's happening in crypto, they see that crypto is a good place that is an alternative to the fiat system that is collapsing. And a lot of people are blindly just going into crypto. They're listening to the first guy that they hear on YouTube, the first person that they see on the news, and they're just blindly going into it. And a lot of people are getting wrecked. They're getting really hurt. So it's almost like a work of mercy, right? Teaching the ignorant, right? What we're doing, because it's an act of charity in a sense, because we're going out of our way to really open up our research for people to actually learn with us, alongside us. And so, yeah. What are your thoughts, Jeff? Because, I mean, you were the one that started with this idea. And do you still see it as a luxury item? Because I don't. I see it as a, like, I can't see a crypto newsletter or that is not moving at the pace of crypto. And in a sense, with the VIC, the Vigilante Insiders Club that we're starting, it's almost like we are pioneering a new approach to newsletter writing by opening up our research in real time.
Yeah, absolutely. Going to just before I say that, to what you're saying about Coinbase, I've seen so many of the things that we've written about over the last 13 years since we started the Dollar Vigilante, which a few months later, JP Morgan is launching something. Like, I know that a lot of the big players in Wall Street, in crypto, they're all subscribers to our newsletter. And I can see it. They even use our language a lot of the times. They get a lot of their ideas from us. Like, even back when we started in 2011, Hugo Salinas Price, who's the second biggest billionaire in Mexico, he was a subscriber. He'd invite me to his house for dinner. And it turned out afterwards, he hated Bitcoin, by the way. He's a huge silver guy. And he used to get mad at me. He'd invite me, he's a billionaire, he'd invite me to his house. He'd have all these guys with Uzis all around his house in Acapulco. And he'd tell me, you got to stop talking about Bitcoin. Silver, that's bullshit. It's just a computer money. Silver is what you need to be talking about. Well, his son, I forget his exact name, but Price is Salinas. Salinas is his last name. It's his son. He was also getting our newsletters, and he started buying up Bitcoin around like $30 or $50, and he's a billionaire. So now he's a multi-billionaire. He's also very promotive of Bitcoin. So yeah, we've got... And we don't even know who most of these people are, by the way. But we've been around doing this stuff for like 15 years, almost 15 years now. And we've got major people, and we have no idea even who they are. But like, there's no other newsletter putting out what we put out. There's nothing even close. Like there's a few that I'm not even going to mention their names. They're embarrassing. Like that one that said they copy all of our picks because we're the guys who know what's going on. So they actually featured Monero a few years ago, and they said it was an ERC-20 token. Remember that one?
Yeah. Yeah, that was funny.
And they charge like five times more than what we charge, right? But anyway, so yeah, it's evolved.
Because you're too generous, Jeff.
Well,
you're very generous. Your philosophy is keep it as cheap as possible to make it affordable to people.
Well, the main goal of the newsletter is to get people to understand anarcho-capitalist and Austrian economics ideas and change the world, right? So I don't want to charge a ton so that we don't have that many subscribers. We're not going to reach that many people. So yeah, I've always tried to keep it pretty darn close to like as low as we can. And you know, as far as how the newsletters changed, when we first started, it was a once a month newsletter with just me and Ed, and it was maybe 15 pages. We're now, we had to change that like a few years ago. So many things are going on. We changed it to twice a month, and our last newsletter was 80 pages. Like, and that's just the dollar vigilante. That's not even the crypto vigilante, which is sometimes 80 pages. So what things are expanding so much. And I remember when we launched the dollar vigilante in 2010, 2011, I'd wonder what I would write about every month. There wasn't that much stuff happening. I was like very quiet. Now you just look, we list like the top 50 most important news things that happened, and they're all massive. If I would have even seen one of those 10 years ago, my mind would have been blown. It's all happening every day now. We're in the final stages of the system. So yeah, we've progressed from one newsletter with just me and Ed to two a month, the 80 pages sometimes with like five different people writing for it. We've added the whole crypto vigilante with you, Mr. X, and your whole team. So we've got like three newsletters that go out a month now. And what you just pointed out is, and we're still can't even keep up with everything going on, especially in the crypto space, which actually I'm excited for people to see you in the Vigilante Insiders Club, where you'll be telling people what you tell just people like me and Ed and Mr. X now. You're going to be telling people in the Vigilante Insiders Club what you're telling us. And every day I'm like, whoa. And you're like, yeah, this just changed. You know, like, I'm like, send out a newsletter. It's like, it'll be too late. In 20 minutes, it's too late.
that's exactly what's happening because, so the way I describe it is that the fiat economy moves at a certain pace. Crypto, what happens in 1 month in crypto is equivalent to 1 year of development in the fiat economy. Now what's really happening in these on-chain economies, which is really nothing more than the actual using of crypto itself, what happens in an on-chain economy is equivalent to the to how in 1 month is equivalent to what happens in the crypto economy in 1 year. So that's why I'm like, well, the VIC is no longer like a, to me, the VIC is no longer a luxury item. It's actually a necessity for the crypto side, because what we have to understand is that if you put on like the blockchain, your blockchain hat on, and you apply the blockchain to everything, you will realize that there's no difference between Twitter and FTX. Like, both founders are both hugely in debt. Like, Elon Musk is in debt $13 billion, and all we have to create is somebody out there is going to create one application that is going to combine the dopamine addiction of social media with the experience of a crypto exchange, and it's all going to happen on a blockchain, which now we have a blockchain. We have blockchains with more liquidity than crypto exchanges like Bitcoin. Bitcoin, if you look at it from like an on-chain perspective, as an on-chain marketplace, it is the biggest digital asset exchange on the planet right now. BTC is, followed by Ethereum. So what we're dealing with is a world where some entrepreneur somewhere, in more likely the very near future, because, you know, like George Gilder says, Jeff, the market now moves at the speed of thought. When it's powered by like AI, ChatGPT-3, and now you get your code done automatically by a machine, literally the market moves at the speed of thought and ideas. What does that mean? That we will see. It could be in 5 years, 10 years, or it could be next week. Because if it's going to be found, these things are going to be figured out in 5 years, it means it could be figured out next week. Because again, we have the technology now to make it happen. Just the creativity of the entrepreneur has to come together and put this puzzle together. Jeff, I think that we are going to see hyper Bitcoinization in our lifetime, where we're going to see all of big tech, all Google, Amazon, Twitter, Facebook, all of them, alongside with all of the exchanges like Binance, Kraken, they're all going to be rugged at the same time, and we're going to enter into like an on-chain world. And I think it's going to happen. I think that's going to happen. And the reason why it's going to happen is two reasons, Jeff. Number one, people are growing desperate because of everything you said. They see the writing on the wall. They don't have money to pay their debt. Everyone is over leveraged. So everyone, even if they're ignorant about crypto, they're still going to hedge a bet in crypto here or there. And that's why we created the crypto vigilante and the dollar vigilante, to help people like make the best, most educated decision possible. So that's one motivating factor. The other factor is what I already explained. You have the convergence and the coming together of the brightest people on the planet. And for what the craziest thing, Jeff, is that not only do we have these machine learning language models like ChatGPT-3 becoming smarter every day, but all of Southeast Asia and India, who people have been like hiring them on Fiverr to write their, write my code, I'll pay you to people in the West are hiring people in Asia and in these countries to write their code, to do their website. You literally just created your competition. So now the real game plan, Jeff, is that people in all of the emerging economies are realizing, I don't have to go to Europe. I don't have to go to the United States to find some sort of American dream. Like, all I have to do is that from the comfort of my home, I can engage, permit in the most frictionless way possible, and without having to ask anyone for permission, without KYC AML, I can engage with the blockchain directly as an entrepreneur. And that is like the big moment. When people start realizing that, it's like the new place is the on-chain place. It is the Dero. It is the Bitcoin ordinals. It is what like Coinbase is trying to do with Ethereum, right? It is knowing that I can just use the blockchain, and the blockchain is the new space where I can I can just be in the most interactive and cooperative and profit-seeking environment on Earth, So where we move away from big tech, where we move away from Twitter, where we move away from all of these megalomaniacs. Because look, Jeff, if you notice what Elon is saying, and what he has been saying since he bought Twitter, is that he's trying to give us a fake hyper-Bitcoinization. He's trying to say, well, I'm gonna turn Twitter into a financial, the biggest financial entity. Wait a minute, aren't you a social media platform? So he's giving you a fake hyper-Bitcoinization is really what he's, but he knows like the writing is on the wall for him as well. And that's why I think right now, everyone in crypto, and if you position yourself, like you said, accordingly within crypto, precious metals, you have a great opportunity, the greatest opportunity of the millennia ahead of us. Because it's almost like it doesn't matter what happens, because even if we are in it, if this turns out to be in a dystopia, you will be better off, well positioned in crypto. Does that make sense, Jeff? Like, there's like almost no way out of this other than like, either you do that or you prepare to live completely like an Amish person, right? So it's like.
Yeah, well, you already are in many ways, and so am I. But yeah, it's an amazing period of time. When the internet first started, it was so not like how it is today. It's changed so much. It's become like with the smartphones and stuff, it's become like everyone's just on it all the time now, and things are changing very fast even there. But now we're going to a whole new level, and now AI is even coming in. We're going to see changes over the next 2 or 3 years that we actually can't imagine, that will shock us. And it's an incredible time if you're aware of these things, and you have the right information, you have the potential to do incredibly well. We've never had a time like this in human history with this much change. It's going to be unbelievable, but it's also going to be risky. So you got to be really smart, and just make sure you're getting the right information. And that's why, sign up for our newsletters. The Dollar Vigilante, the most basic version, is like $20 a month. And it's like two issues of like 80 pages sometimes. A lot of this stuff is in there, and that's just the basic version. Then you can get the premium if you want to get like stock trades and alerts and gold mining stocks, which we also expect will do very well over the next year or two. And then the Crypto Vigilante, the whole thing's like less than $100 a month for everything. It's pretty much everything you need to have an opportunity to survive and to prosper over the next few years. And as you mentioned, we're now launching the Vigilante Insiders Club, but that's going to be very limited to start with. It's going to be just 50 people just to start with. If you want to know how to sign up, just go to dollarvigilante.com. Just put your email into that on the front page and you'll get those notifications. And that's going to be launched in the next week or two. So if you're really interested, go make sure you put your email in there now. If you don't subscribe to our newsletters, just start with the Dollar Vigilante Basic, just so you can get an idea of what it's all about. Once you see how valuable it is, if you want to upgrade to Premium and the Crypto Vigilante, and if you can get into the Vigilante Insiders Club. And you might be right, Raf, in that it might become like almost critical to be a part of the Vigilante Insiders Club at some point, because things will be moving so fast. And so we're going to have to think about how because we were thinking of keeping it very limited, because it's going to be also like a chat group. You're going to be in these chat groups with myself, with Raf, every day talking about all this stuff. So we can't have like thousands of people in there. But I actually had a thought, and I almost shouldn't say it because, I haven't thought it all the way through yet. But maybe at some point we can figure out a way to allow more people into it. Maybe they can't chat with us or something, just so they have the opportunity. Because, even like last year, I made like $1 million in like 2 days on Luna when it crashed to 0.000001. And it wasn't from shorting it. I bought it at the lowest you could possibly buy it. And you were there when I was in the chat groups talking with Mr. X, Mr. Z. Mr. Z was like, yeah, this is exactly what I wrote about the Crypto Vigilante newsletter 2 months earlier, that Luna was going to go into a death spiral. So he's in there. And I said, I'm going to try to buy as much as I can at 0.0000001 cents, which is the lowest you could buy it on Binance. Over 3 hours, I bought like $5,000 worth. 2 days later, it was worth over $1 million. So I made like 30,000% in 2 days or something. But there was no way we could have written that into a newsletter. But if we had the Vigilante Insiders Club at the time, I would have been in there saying this, because that's what I was doing. I was telling people like yourself, Mr. X, but I can do that in the Vigilante Insiders Club now. It's like, I think there's an opportunity here, but it's going to be happening so fast. Like, that's the thing. These things are happening so fast now. Like, I'm so thankful that you're involved, Raf, and Mr. X and the entire team, because there's no way I can keep up with it. Like, even if I was 20 years younger and had a lot more energy, it's just, it's, it's so much. I have to keep on top of the political stuff going on, the central bank stuff Ed's watching every day, the financial, the economic collapse that's coming, the genocide that's going on. Like, it's just too much. But thankfully, you are still younger, and you're so excited about being like on the cutting edge of all this stuff. So yeah, it's going to be an amazing couple of years. And, you know, meanwhile, most people are on Twitter or on some YouTube crypto guy telling you about Dogecoin. You know, like the real information is actually out there. And not to, like, you know, pump our own tires, but like, we're the only thing out there that's even close to what we're offering. There's nothing. And you know why I think that is, Raph? Because our product, what we offer, is so next level that no one can compete with us. Like, we've got all the guys who are there with Satoshi when he launched Bitcoin on our team. Like, who's competing with us? Nobody's competing with us. And I think they don't even bother, because there's like, why create a new product that's going to be way worse than this other product, right? So anyway, I sound a little like, pumping my own tires a little too much, but I actually am really proud of how this has turned out. When Ed and I launched it in 2010, I could never have imagined what this would evolve into with the Crypto Vigilante, now the Vigilante Insiders Club, and all of our amazing picks over the years, all of our amazing advice, and this huge team now, which people have access to directly if they want through the Vigilante Insiders Club. It's pretty amazing, and all putting out the best content, all super hardcore anarcho-capitalists, never apologizing for our beliefs about statism and collectivism and freedom and free markets. It's a fun time to be alive. Like I said, I can't believe I'm alive during the apocalypse, and I'm having the best time.
I mean, you every call you've made, you've been on point. So when you, I that's the one call that Jeff makes that I'm like, man, I wish he's wrong about that one. But everything tells me that, yes, this is like, if it were an apocalypse, it looks like we're in the middle of it beginning. So Jeff, I want to thank you for everything. Thank you for being my mentor, the mentor to all the guys at TCV, for everything you've created, for being so generous. Thank you for Anarchapulco, because you know, you always, you not only started it, but you're the driving force behind it, and you make sure that it happens even when it sometimes it doesn't go your way financially. But thank you so much, Jeff, for doing that as well. Is there anything else that you would like to say to our audience before taking off, or is there anything else you want to talk about?
I think that's pretty good. I'll just mention Anarchapulco's coming up. We actually have, just so you know, I talked a lot about surviving, which is really important. Like, you got to make, they're injecting poison that's going to kill you in the food now. They're doing that. They're putting the mRNA, you know, that thing, I can't say it on YouTube, into the meat now in the US and Australia. If you aren't watching everything right now, you're going to get wiped out. This is a depopulation agenda. They're outspoken about it. They've been talking about it for decades. They're very proud of it, and they're very happy it's going very well. But you have to be very smart right now. And so we actually have a completely free thing coming up on, I think, August 11th to the 13th, so in a couple days. It's the Nonconformist series at Anarchapulco. It's 3 full days on how to survive, grow your own food, how to unschool, how to homeschool, how to live off the grid. All these things you're going to need to know. Like, Raph and I kind of joke a little bit that we're going to set up ham radio towers, and if Satan Claus takes down the internet with the cyber attacks, that we'll still do the Vic and the newsletters and the our videos over ham radio.
But it's crypto via ham radio, so why not?
Yeah. No, like, we're only half joking. Like, so anyway, we've got 3 full days. It's totally free, and I'm actually gonna, I haven't told anyone this, by the way, I'm going to do about a 45 minute thing. I'm going to lay out everything I do personally for my own self work, my meditations, my coffee enemas, all that kind of stuff. I haven't told anyone I'm going to do that yet, but it's got a ton of incredible information on how to stay healthy and alive during these times, because they're literally trying to kill you right now. 5G is coming out. So it's all free. Just go to narcopoca.com, put in your email right there, and you'll get it all for free. It's coming up in February 11th to 16th in Acapulco, Mexico. I'm sure you'll be there again, Raph. And we have a full day on crypto at it, crypto poca we call it. We might even do a TDB summit at the next Anarchapoco. I haven't told anyone that, so you got two scoops from me there, Raf.
Nice.
But yeah, if you're into crypto and if you're not subscribed to the Crypto Vigilante, you're kind of insane. Like that's, you know, there's nothing else out there that's giving you this kind of information, like cutting edge information. Sometimes it could be a little early. That's what we found out with Dero so far. You guys featured Dero at $4, I think like 2 years ago. It went up to 30, so it almost went up like 800%. But then we've had the bear market. It's almost back down to $4 again. So there's an opportunity. There's another free thing for you too, by the way. Dero's going to be huge in the future, we think. But if you really want to get this information, sign up for all the newsletters. When you sign up for the Crypto Vigilante, you also get the Dollar Vigilante, just so you know. And yeah, I think that's it. I think that's enough for today. I just got off another hour and a half show about the Jones Plantation, which is also really interesting. If people haven't seen that, they really should. So yeah, I've been going for like 3 or 4 hours here. So I think that's good enough for me.
Well, thank you so much for your time, Jeff. I really appreciate it. Jeff, can you please sign us out?
Oh, you want me to do the old thing that I used to do?
Of course, yes. Come on.
All right. I haven't done that for a while, but thanks everyone for watching. Hit like and subscribe down below, and come see us on Anarchapoco. Sign up to the Anarchapoco free event coming up, and we'll leave it there for now. Watch Lucy and I in our videos, and that's it for now. From Mexico, peace, love, and anarchy.
Yeah.